Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
They are Philomena Connors, Helen O'Donoghue, Mary Moran, Margaret Hutchinson, Anne O'Reilly, Bridget O'Reilly and Kathleen O'Driscoll. Seven sisters, the O'Reilly sisters, a magnificent seven women who took their abusive father to court, and James O'Reilly from Tipperary was sentenced to 20 years in prison on Monday. And we've been subsequently contacted, as you know, by Sergeant John Hines, talking about his work in the Roscommon House of Horrors case and encouraging people like the O'Reilly sisters did. That's what prompted them. They were so strong, saying, please come forward, be not afraid. Unfortunately, John Hines, a few hours after he was on with us and made an incredible impression, his beloved friend, Colm Horkin, was killed on the streets of Castlereagh. But we generated other communications with us. And again, I'm conscious of saying to people with young children, please, this is a warning that some of the events, not graphically, but some of the events are described in broad terms. This is a letter, and it's basically back to this thing again of street angel, house devil. This is the letter read by Rebecca.
Dear Joe, my father was an out-and-out animal. To the outside world, he was the pillar of the community. But in our home, behind closed doors, he was sexually and physically abusing me and my sisters. It was in 1960s Ireland, so times were much different then. I remember after a really awful night with him, we plucked up courage to go to the police, but they said it was a domestic case. We told the priest too, but nobody did anything. He would tell us if we told anyone, he would kill them. We were so frightened of him. He would beat us regularly, including my mother, and throw us all out on the streets with no shoes or stockings on. When he was in the pub, he was Mr. Wonderful. But for us, living with him was hell on earth. Sadly, one of my sisters had a baby for our father. At the time, we were told she got pregnant for a stranger, but it was Daddy's child. We only found out that Daddy was the father after Mother died. I think people knew what was happening on our street, but they didn't intervene to help us. As I get older, I believe my mother knew what was happening and left us with him. I loved her so much, Joe, but now I hate her too. My advice to anyone going through abuse is don't be afraid of your abuser. Ireland is a different place now. Go to the Gardaí and report it. I felt joy watching the O'Reilly sisters get justice for the abuse they endured at the hands of their father. I just wish we had reported the abuse before our father died.
That is the letter. Anne Corrin has contacted us. Anne, good afternoon. She in the west of Ireland, she was working for the Department of Education, providing service to promote education among children of the travelling community. And she was very taken, as a lot of people were, by the O'Reilly sisters. On one hand, saying come forward, and the other hand, asking questions about the authorities and why they didn't intervene earlier. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Communication with us. You were talking. Go ahead. You read a newspaper report. Mother and father, the travelling community jail for cruelty.
Firstly, I suppose I listened to the sentence handed down to that man in Tipperary, and like you, want to reiterate my prayers for the victims of that man, and the courage that they took to bring the case, the successful case against their father. And their encouragement, just like the letter you've just read out, to other families to come forward and not be afraid. I myself, in my work as a visiting teacher for the Travellers, was involved in, I suppose, a very similar case to the infamous Roscommon case. And there were certain lessons I learned from it. And I suppose one of them, and it rang a bell when I was re-listening to your reading out of that letter, about people knowing and not intervening. And I just want to make the point that that's not always the case. because one thing I learned from a very, very intense involvement with the particular traveller family that I was involved with is about the insidious nature of sexual abuse within the family. And it continues often because the perpetrators are adept at covering it up. And I can't say strongly enough how I feel for those O'Reilly sisters and how I applaud both their case and the message that they and others are sending out.
And when you were visiting this home, Anne, were you aware of... Because one of the things that Sergeant John Hines told us the other day about the Roscommon House of Horrors case is that when the HSE used to visit, the children subsequently revealed this, the parents, both of whom were convicted and sent to prison, the parents would get in tea and biscuits and clean up the front room, make sure the HSE didn't get to see the back of the house where the children were living in absolute squalor. Were you aware when you were visiting the house that there were issues in that house?
Absolutely not, Joe. Okay. And furthermore, I wasn't aware that there was involvement of the HSE Social Work Department.
Okay.
Now, in my role as a visiting teacher for the Travellers, I would have collaborated and actively worked with excellent social workers on the ground who were involved in a small minority of the Traveller families that I worked with. In this particular case, I wasn't aware that there was social work involvement. And I suppose I would often say that were I aware at that time, the jigsaw pieces that I would have seen would have taken on a totally different perspective.
Okay. So the father in this case was obviously very good, which is the wrong phrase. He was very adept in hiding things.
Well, in this case, when I was working with the family, the mother was in inverted commas reporting herself as a lone parent.
Okay.
Now, sadly, in this case, it wasn't only the father, but also the mother. The father was given a life sentence. The mother was given 8 years.
Oh, wow.
It was the mother that I had a very high frequent and high level of contact with when the family were in the west of Ireland, but they were transient and they moved between the west and the east of Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Did that make it difficult for the authorities to keep track?
Well, I suppose I can't speak for the authorities,
yeah.
Joe. I was employed by the Department of Education. The transience of the family was an issue. I'm not saying transient is an issue, but within my role, because transience was one of the factors, then when the family would move out of the west of Ireland, I was reasonably certain that there were locations in the east of Ireland that they frequented. So when they would move from my area of cover, I would immediately contact my colleague in the areas that they were most likely to have moved to. Or I would send an email to all my colleagues saying, if you come across this family, please contact me. They would have moved from schools in my particular area of cover, and I can pass on any relevant information. So, transient doesn't have to be a detriment to communication, not with modern technology.
And how did this come? This particular case, it's not the Roscommon House of Horrors case, obviously, because the description is totally different. How did this case get to court?
Okay, and can I just go back a bit there? The Roscommon House of Horrors case. A lot of my knowledge of what happened within this home, in terms of the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned from reading about it in the media when the case was being covered. I've lost my own train of thought.
No, I was saying,
how was it uncovered?
Yeah.
My understanding, and again, this is from the media, that in 2009, the guards had concerns, and mm-hmm. I understand that there was an attempted suicide on the case of one of the victims, which and I'd have to compliment the work of the detectives involved in
They're brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, and listening to John Hines the other day, and his obvious integrity and his humility, which were so audible, I would equally say the same about the two detectives that I was involved with in this case. I don't know whether I can name them or not.
Yeah, no, not this stage. Just in case I might identify it again. And when they interviewed you, what did the Gardaí want to know, Anne?
Well, I suppose their
Given that you were there as a teacher, not as a social worker, it's not your kind.
I wasn't there as a social worker, but my role
as a teacher,
was like,
education.
Yes, but it also was homeschool liaison. It was an advisory supportive service.
So what did the Gardaí want to know from you?
The Gardaí wanted to know, I suppose, they were building up a case at that point, and they wanted to know, had I any concerns? Had I witnessed anything? They were building up an evidence in the case.
And the Gardaí obviously succeeded because both of them were sent to prison for
absolutely
a long time. Okay. Yeah. Have you had, and I don't obviously details, but John Hines was able to tell us that thankfully with the intervention of foster families, when their parents were sent to prison, who were criminals abusing and sexually abusing the children, that the children are now adults, early adulthood, are doing well. Had you any subsequent contact with the victims?
Limited, Joe, in that the service that I was part of, the visiting teacher service for travellers, was removed in 2011 under government cuts at the time.
Oh, was it, yeah?
I then went into another visiting teacher service, which was a service for children who are deaf or hard of hearing.
Okay.
So I had contact within that role with one of the children in her foster home situation.
Okay, which she was in foster care, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay, Anne Curran, thanks indeed. Thanks for your contribution and thanks for your praise of the Gardaí, Anne. 51551, wash your hands.